Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I try not to cough over the opening music. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, we made it Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Well, you all know what that music means. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, what's going on?
I don't know, except from that miserable rainy weather, not too much.
Yeah, if you'd like to call into the podcast and tell Stu and I how the weather is where you live, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, swing on by sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And if you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to reach out to me at BurkeTime, and I can forward any messages you might have along to Stu. So there you go. We are all set. We are up and running, and I don't think you filled one out, but how would your bracket be if you did?
Well, I probably would have lost already with Kentucky losing, but some of the other teams I predicted to win that did quite nicely, like Texas Tech and Kansas. I think Villanova did all right, right? And some of the other ones were easy winners today. Ohio State.
And we did have a 10-7. Miami beat USC, so I know that happens quite a bit, but it is technically an upset. So we have that again.
So you don't have a chance to win $1 million anymore, right?
Well, I did do two brackets. I always do two. And I know I had Kentucky go in, although actually it turned out I had Kentucky winning the title. So that bracket is definitely done. That one's finished and all wrapped up, and I can just light that on fire. But the other one is going on. I did read this morning that after that upset, coming into today's play, I believe it's on the ESPN site, there were only 193 perfect brackets out of the millions that, multiple millions they got turned in. Only 193 people were perfect that had, obviously, St. Peter's beating Kentucky.
And what do they know that we didn't? Because I know very little, virtually nothing about St. Peter's. Do you?
No, my guess is they went to college there, so they picked them. Because, what other reason would you have for picking them?
Yeah, I can't think of any myself, and that was that's easy to see how most of the people got knocked out very quickly. But I would think that after they lose, there won't be but a handful left to still have a chance with a perfect bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested to know how far those people had St. Peter's going. So
yeah, how do you know where they're located? Do you know where they're located, that college?
I'm actually looking right now, and it was established in 1872, so I can tell you that. I haven't quite seen where they say. They are asking me to apply to the school, so I don't know. I don't know if I will be doing that. I think I still have a couple years of eligibility left, but I don't know if that would actually help them.
Do you think the fact that this is their 150th year celebration helped them win the game?
Possible. Here you go. I found it for you. St. Peter's University is located at 2641 John F. Kennedy Boulevard in Jersey City, New Jersey. And if you'd like to give them a call and apply, their number here, 888-772-9933. So feel free to see if you can get yourself into it. It is a Jesuit Catholic university, just so you know. They do advertise that. So,
Would they accept me?
They're in New
Jersey. I don't know if they would accept me then.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure if you paid, you could get in. That's probably all. You know, it's Catholic. They're probably just looking for that extra payday. So.
But yeah, that is by far the upset of the tournament so far.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely is the upset of the tournament.
Yeah, so. Miami-USC is not a major upset. I mean, that's a pretty toss-up type of game today. Although, I guess it's an upset, but not of biblical proportions.
Yeah, I did hear a lot of people taking Miami in that game. I don't know anybody who picked St. Peter's.
Did you catch any of that game? I missed that. I didn't see the overtime.
I had it on the roster as I was kind of dozing in and off, so I heard bits and pieces of it, and then I was woken up at the end after St. Peter's won because the announcer just went bonkers, even though he was supposed to be a neutral guy.
Yeah, no cheering in the press box. Isn't that the way they're supposed to do that?
Supposed to be.
But there were some awfully one-sided games today.
Yeah, and, you know, you do get a lot of those in the first round when you start looking at, you know, these matchups. And, you know, in reality, they should be that way. I mean, you've got small schools playing what are basically giant powerhouses.
Yeah, and
so,
as I mentioned to you in an email, Sister Jean's match didn't work today. They lost by about 10 or 11 to Ohio State, and I think Ohio State pretty much had the lead throughout most of the game.
You know, and we do have Illinois. I believe that game will start just about as soon as you and I get done wrapping up here. They are facing the Chattanooga. I know they call them the Mocs, but I don't know if that means they're the Moccasins or if they just shortened it to the Mocs.
Well, I would imagine Illinois is a slight favorite to win that game. I'm not really sure.
But Chattanooga did win 27 games this season. So, I mean, they beat somebody.
Yeah, it's not going to be a pushover for sure. Unlike Purdue easily handling Yale today.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to say I was very disappointed in Iowa. You know, they were hot coming in out of the Big Ten tournament, and they just laid an egg yesterday.
Yeah, that must have cost a lot of people the brackets right then and there when they lost that game.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. You know, and I know Richmond has pulled off upsets before, not in a few years, but they've pulled off upsets before. It was just not what I was expecting. I definitely had Iowa advancing, but I believe I had them losing in the next round. I don't remember who they were playing. So,
well, as you pointed out, Iowa came in hot. I mean, they were very strong, and in fact, a lot of people thought they would make it all the way to the top, at least to the top eight, maybe, into the tournament.
So, yeah, I did see some people who had them going, you know, quite a long way. But for whatever reason, they were just terrible. So.
And who's St. Peter's playing next?
Who's who playing next?
St. Peter's.
Oh, who do they get? I think, do they get, I'm trying to remember what division they're in. I'll have to look. Let me pull up Let me pull up a bracket here really quick, and we can find out who they got. Well, I should never say really quick with my internet, but let me
they're probably going to be the big underdog.
They are playing Murray State, who is a 7 seed.
Well, Murray State is a pretty decent team.
So, yeah, you know, that'll be interesting. I mean, at least we'll get a lower seeded team into the Elite Eight, because you're either going to get a 7 or a 15.
Yeah, Murray State has had some interesting teams in the NCAA over the years.
So, yeah, and then, you know, we did have the other 12-5 upset. We had New Mexico State beat Connecticut yesterday. So, that 12 moved on. We had Michigan, another upset. Michigan was an 11 seed. They beat Colorado State. So...
Yeah, that didn't start out too well for, if I remember correctly, that didn't start out too well for Michigan also. They were losing pretty in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it was a rough start for them, but they got it going. And, you know, like I don't consider a 9 beating an 8 an upset, but Creighton did beat San Diego State yesterday. So, you know, if you're at that level, you're right there. It could be either team. So.
Yeah, that's a toss-up type game. I wouldn't call that an upset.
Yeah. But yeah, so you know, we'll see what else kind of shakes out today. What we have left, and who moves on to the rest of the weekend.
Well, as the tournament advances, you're going to see fewer upsets, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, there always seems to be one team to make a run that you weren't expecting. And I know, an odd fact I found, there's also every year there's one team from the play-in round that wins their opening round game. And right now that looks like it might be Notre Dame, as they have an 11-point lead on Alabama.
Yeah, they're turning out to be the Cinderella team so far.
So, yeah, we'll have to see, you know, if they can hold on. I mean, the game is still going on, so there's always a chance Alabama could make a comeback. But, yeah, I thought that was an interesting fact, that it always seems to be one play-in team wins a first-round game.
Yeah, I think that some of the teams like Tennessee and Villanova and Kansas, Texas Tech, look like they will be factors throughout the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech really put up the numbers today. I mean, they had 97 points. So,
yeah,
you know, you wonder, you know, they can keep scoring like that.
Impressive win, and that wasn't the kind of game that went down to the last minute either. That was decided virtually the entire second half. It was no contest, probably in the first half, too,
yeah.
I would imagine.
The only close game we've had today is Miami-USC. You know, Miami won by 2 points, and USC had a chance. They had about a half-court shot that banked in and went, banked and went off the rim. Looked like it had an opportunity to go in. It just didn't. So.
Yeah, we've seen some of those over the years, Hail Mary shots going in.
So, yeah, especially, you know, the conference tournaments featured quite a few of them, you know, coming into the tournament. So, but yeah, it was definitely some people there from Miami holding their breath when that shot went up. But I do see here Illinois is a 7.5-point favorite. You can get them from 7.5 to 8.5. Do you have them covering that big of a line?
No, I think it'll be a little bit closer than that.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm looking for 4 or 5 points, maybe.
You know, yeah, depending on what site you you can get 7.5 to 8.5, depending on where you go. So.
Yeah, they're not playing a really a bad team. It's a team that's won quite a few games. I'm sure their level of play isn't up to Illinois, but they should be quite competitive, I would think.
Yeah, you would think. You know, I mean, obviously they're in a smaller, you know, probably weaker conference, but, you know, they still got in the tournament. Like you said, they won a lot of games. So anytime you're winning a lot of games, you know,
they're going to have a chance.
You know, yeah, you're here for a reason. So we'll see how that holds up. But I think Illinois will find a way to win it.
Are you thinking they're going to cover that point spread? I don't think so myself, but
you know, it's so tough. Like I would think they would. But I wouldn't put – there's no way I would put money on it. I just couldn't. I don't believe enough of them in them, you know, believe in them enough, I should say, to make that wager.
Yeah, they got a good team, but, that's a lot of points.
Yeah. I just – you know, and I get it. You know, they're a 4 seed. They're playing a 13 seed. You know, honestly, you would think they would win by double digits, but I just – I don't have that confidence.
What channel is covering that game tonight?
Let me see if they have it listed here. There it is. I have to pull up the schedule and find out. So it'll take a minute with my rushed internet. But yeah, I wonder if it will be the main game on CBS.
Yeah,
because I know Wisconsin as well. No, they are a scheduled 5:50 start on TNT. I guess we shouldn't be surprised if Duke is the primetime game on CBS, being that it's Krzyzewski's last season. So.
Yeah, I guess that shouldn't be a surprise then.
Yeah, and then if you're looking for Wisconsin, they're on TBS. So, and you know, and if you're gonna watch Rampage tonight, Stu, you're gonna have to stay up late because it doesn't start till after the games.
No, so it's gonna start what about 10:30 or so tonight?
Yeah, I think they're predicting 10:30. But yeah, you know, your game, you know, being that it's the first round, you have TNT, CBS, TBS, and True TV covering games.
Yeah, you're gonna get your fill of basketball tonight.
Yeah, because we have, you know, Illinois and Chattanooga start off on TNT, and then after them is Houston and UBA. It's Duke and Cal State Fullerton is the first CBS game. Then you get Michigan State and Davidson as the second CBS game. TNT gives you LSU at Iowa State to start. Then you get Wisconsin and Colgate. And True TV gets one of the number one seeds. They get Arizona against Wright State. And then the final game there is Seton Hall and TCU.
Yeah, well, after tonight, I think we'll get sit down and make a better determination as to who's going to go to the Final Four.
And cry over the brackets.
That's right. Oh. That's right. And just think, after tonight, then. No one might be alive anymore for a perfect bracket.
Yeah, you do wonder, you know, out of those people who's still hanging, you know, who could still be hanging on after the game today.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, I have no idea who. I still can't believe anybody had St. Peter's. That's just shocking to me.
Did you know what their record was? Did they win 20 games this season?
Yeah, I believe they did. I'm trying, you know, I saw it when I was floating around on their website, and I don't remember. Let's see if I can find it here. I don't know if this has been updated. They were 20-11. So I don't know if they were 19-11 going into last night or if they were 20-11 on the season.
Yeah, when you see a team with double-digit losses, though, it doesn't look like they're going to go all that deep into the tournament.
No, and especially against a power like Kentucky, who really looked like they were bouncing back and had a really good year. So, but
well, you know,
yeah,
they have
definitely.
a very dramatic alumnus. They're really take their basketball seriously down there, and I'm sure they can't be too happy about what happened.
Yeah, no, that's got to be a big deal that they took that L last night. So, you know, because, you know, like I said, I heard a lot of people predicting them to win it all. Some people thought they had the easiest road to get to the finals. And, yeah, they would have no problems, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of cruising in. And, you know, like I said, there were people picking them to win the whole thing. I was actually one of those people who were dumb enough to do that. And, yeah, it just blew up in, you know, in their face last night in overtime.
Yeah, this is a pretty wide open the field this year. And I know I've heard Gonzaga mentioned. I'm sure that, I don't know, Villanova, Tennessee, all those teams seem like they have a good chance, but maybe this will be the year Gonzaga takes it all.
Yeah, you got to figure sooner or later they'd end up winning one, right? But we'll have to see if this is it or if they, you know, they gotta continue to wait. But I mean, they look good today. I think they played. Yesterday. I don't remember when they played, but they looked pretty good from what I saw.
Yeah, I don't think they had any trouble winning their round game.
Yeah. You know, but that makes sense because very rarely does a 16 beat a 1. What I think it's happened only once or twice. So.
Yeah, it's pretty infrequent.
You know, that's just one of those, you know, one of those things, you know, it's like, you know, an upset in the NBA playoffs, a 1 beating an 8, that just doesn't happen.
No.
You know, we'll have to see. But since I did sneak the NBA in there, we do have a Bulls game tonight, but they appear like, you know, it looks like it's going to be, we're going to be adding another loss to their column here as they are facing Phoenix, who is, I believe, the best team in the NBA. But what I'm curious about here is, you know, at one point the Bulls were leading the Eastern Conference, and then they stayed in second behind Miami for quite a while. They're now down to fifth. Are you concerned that they end up in that damn play-in tournament instead of actually getting into the playoffs?
No, I think they'll – you know, I don't think they're going to have to worry too much about the play-in, but I don't think they'll fall more than a fifth or sixth place. And it'll be nice if they get ball back, but right now he's still having problems coming back from that injury. And Caruso is obviously not in 100% basketball shape either since he's returned to the lineup. And their defense has been very, very poor lately.
Yeah, well, they're only two games out of ending up in the play-in. So after tonight, it'll probably be a game and a half because I'm assuming you're picking them to lose to Phoenix tonight.
Yeah, I wonder what the point spread is. Are the Bulls getting 10 points, or is that too much for an NBA game?
They're getting 5.5.
That's all?
Well, yeah, that's it.
I certainly would pick Phoenix.
So yeah,
they lost by 15 to Utah, who's not as good as
Phoenix.
Yes,
they did. No, you know, I know Phoenix, you know, Phoenix, like everybody else, is a little banged up. So maybe that helps keep the Bulls in it, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Bulls, against a good team, sometimes they play competitively for the first half, maybe into the third quarter, but the good teams seem to just pull away at will and win easily, which is what happened the other day when they wound up playing Utah. They played them tough for a while, but eventually Utah just cruised to an easy win.
Yeah, well, you know, that almost kind of happened against Sacramento, too, even though you wouldn't consider Sacramento a good team. You know, they got behind, the Bulls got behind, they made that push, and then Sacramento just kind of eased into like an 8 or 9 point win.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bulls expended too much energy to finally take the lead briefly in the fourth quarter by a point, and you figure, well, now they're going to roll forward and win the game, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, because they have a very odd schedule. You know, after tonight they come home, but for only one game. They play Toronto on Monday, and then they go back on the road for six games, and, you know, they get Milwaukee, New Orleans, Cleveland, the Knicks, and Washington on a six-game road trip.
Maybe a couple of those games are winnable, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, you know, Toronto is one of the teams behind them in the play-in. You know, they're one of the teams, two games behind. You know, Milwaukee's obviously tough, and then they're actually tied with Cleveland right now. But you'd like to think they could beat New Orleans, New York, and Washington.
Yeah, exactly right.
So they, you know, they could have a winning road trip. And they did beat Cleveland last time, but that was at home, so you wonder being in Cleveland if it would be different. But yeah, it would be nice to, you know, break what is probably going to be a three-game losing streak here against Toronto at home.
It is a very unusual schedule. It seems kind of strange that they would play on the West Coast for three games, come home for one game, and then go back on the road for six.
So, yeah, that's very... very odd. So, but who knows? That's computer scheduling for you.
Yeah. Well, looking at that schedule, maybe you might be closer to the truth than I am. Maybe they will wind up as a play-in team, but it's hard to believe that they could fall past eighth place.
Yeah, well, remember, you know, 7, 8, and 9 go into the playoffs, so they're into the play-in,
right.
So they've only got to fall a little bit. So, you know, we'll have to see how it shakes out for them. But they actually are the second game on NBA TV tonight. If you don't have the local Chicago station, you can watch them there. The first game actually has Memphis at Atlanta, so you can see Ja Morant on NBA TV as well.
Yeah, and Memphis is playing quite well this season.
Yeah, and I know they were saying Morant had a knee problem, but I don't think it's enough for him to miss time. Yeah, Memphis actually has the second best record in the NBA, trailing only Phoenix. So I don't know anybody who had that.
Yeah, at this stage of the season, with the playoffs looming very, very close now, I would imagine that practically every team in the NBA has some kind of players afflicted with some kind of injuries.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, and in a lot of cases, it seemed to really hurt the team. I mean, the Knicks were a huge surprise last year, but for some reason, without Derrick Rose of all guys, they never seemed to get it together this year.
No. Yeah, they've been a huge disappointment.
You know, and I know the Hawks are really struggling without John Collins. You know, obviously Trae Young is the star, but John Collins is a big presence on that team. And, you know, they're hanging on to that final play-in spot, but, you know, without Collins, even if they win the play-in game, they're not going anywhere.
No.
You know, but they're saying now he's going to be out indefinitely with I believe he was diagnosed with a plantar fasciitis tear, and then he's also dealing with a sprained finger on his shooting hand.
Yeah,
he may be done for the year.
Yeah, those are lingering type injuries that simply will not heal unless you just give it a rest. And like you said, maybe he's done for the season.
Yeah, you know, and I heard a lot of people complaining when Steph Curry got hurt the other night. I don't know if you saw that play, but there was a loose ball, and Marcus Smart of the Celtics dove for the ball and happened to roll up on Curry. It wasn't dirty. It was a guy making a hustle play trying to get a loose ball for his team. You know, and I mean, obviously you don't want to see somebody like Curry get hurt, but fortunately I don't think it was serious. But, yeah, everybody just had a conniption fit about, oh, you know, he's dirty and they should suspend him. And no, he didn't do anything wrong. He was trying to get the basketball on the floor.
And was there a flagrant foul in that play?
No, no, there was a loose ball on the floor. So,
yeah,
you know, there he
that's just basketball.
Right.
I don't see how they could even complain about the, anything like that.
Because Curry got hurt. Because Curry got hurt. If Curry wouldn't have gotten hurt, nobody would have said a word about it. You know, it would have been a great hustle play is what they would have been talking about, how hard he tried to get the
ball. So is he going to miss some time because of that play?
You know, he had an MRI, but he did run off the court. So, you know, my guess is since they're pretty much, you know, obviously Golden State is going to the playoffs, I don't think they care what seed they get. So I wouldn't be surprised if they gave him a couple games off. But, yeah, I haven't seen any kind of updates or anything. And obviously, you know, if it would have been serious, it would have been breaking news.
Yeah, maybe I'll give him a day or two off, a game or two off, and be a little cautious with it, but it doesn't sound like it's all that serious. You know, you see a player running up the court, you figure that it's not something that's going to keep him out of the lineup for a long period of time.
Yeah, they have it here. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks after the MRI revealed he suffered a sprained left foot ligament. So, and he is going to be out tonight, I think they play. He is out.
Well, you know, ligament can be a tricky thing, so maybe they're being prudent at least this time, and it's not one of these maintenance type of injury type rest that the players get from time to time.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, with them locked into the playoffs like they are, they can afford to rest them. There's no, you know, no need to run him out there and, you know, take the chance that he could aggravate it. So,
yeah, it'll be the wise thing for them to do.
Yeah. You know, it's not going to hurt them at all for him to miss a couple games. That's, you know, that's not going to be a, you know, better for him to be 100% or even, you know, 95% coming into the playoffs than.
And I would imagine that Golden State didn't, there wasn't any complaints from Golden State about the play, I would assume.
Well, he cried quite a bit about it. So, you know, there was no doubt about that. Steve Kerr did a lot of whining and crying, and then they, you know, like any coach would have. But apparently he talked to Smart after the game, and they worked it out. So,
yeah, that sounds more like a, to me, I didn't see the play, but it sounds like a hustle play, and certainly doesn't sound like anything that was a dirty, malicious play on that play at all.
Yeah, it wasn't anything, you know, and I get it. You're upset because, it's Steph Curry and he got hurt. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to be smart enough to realize that, you know, that it wasn't intentional.
Unlike
the guy slammed him to the ground and he broke his wrist.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to see. But here, I was interested in your opinion on this, and I'm wondering if maybe you took the wrong career path, or maybe I did. I'm thinking, you know, maybe you and I should have been accused of sexually assaulting 22 women, and then we could have got a new year, 5-year, $230 million contract from the Cleveland Browns.
Well, the excuse was that nothing was proven, right, on these allegations.
Yeah, well, they decided not to charge him, but he is still the idea, you know, the deal of lawsuits. There are plenty of those still. There are 22 of those against him. So,
well, with the new deal in place, he can afford to make some kind of undisclosed settlements.
Yes.
With NDAs.
Which I guess will, yeah. You know, and obviously
NDAs involved with those.
Yeah, you know, and obviously Cleveland talked to the league, so I'm guessing he's probably not going to be suspended. So, but here's the deal. Houston will get 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a fourth-round pick in exchange for Deshaun Watson and a fifth-round pick. So
well,
they gave up quite a bit.
Yeah. They get quite a bit in return, and, of course, you never know how these things are going to work out, but I think that they may come out okay in this deal in time.
Yeah. You know, if they can hit on the draft picks, you know, it's definitely, you know, definitely going to be a deal they can, you know, they can win out on.
Right.
You know,
of course, we know that it's always a crapshoot in the first round, and these things don't always work out to their satisfaction. But if they do their due diligence and it's a can't miss type candidate, it could be a very good deal for them.
Yeah. Now, do you find it odd that we're seeing all these big superstars traded? I mean, yesterday the Packers shipped Devonta Adams, who's the best wide receiver in football, to the Raiders. You know, we saw Russell Wilson traded. Obviously, we've got the Watson trade. My guess is we're going to follow that up with a Baker Mayfield trade because Cleveland's not going to keep both of them. So what's going on that we're getting all these big names being dealt in the NFL?
I was very surprised about the wide receiver of the Packers being traded. And I wonder what Rodgers thinks about that decision.
Well, apparently he knew when he was going to sign that big deal that they were probably going to have to do something like this. So
the only reason the Packers are making that move is just as a cost-cutting procedure?
Yeah, well, they were over the salary cap, and then they had to franchise Adams to keep him because they couldn't get him signed, and then he told them he wouldn't play with the franchise tag. So he was going to sit out, and there was just really no hope they were going to get a deal done because they couldn't offer him what the Raiders ended up paying or what he was going to get on the market because there were wide receivers that were definitely beneath him that got big money this offseason. So, of course, he wanted that. The Raiders ended up giving him 5 years and $67.5 million.
You may have answered this one. I wanted to ask you, and I know you know the answers to this, but if a player refuses, if it's not dealt, and he refuses the franchise tag, does he get paid at all for the season when he sits out, or does he get nothing?
It depends on your contract. If your money's guaranteed, well, your money's guaranteed. Generally, what a team does is fine them whatever the amount is, so they basically break even.
So the fine can be quite stringent. Are you saying that the fine can be quite hefty?
Yeah, and then generally when the guy reports, they waive the fines or however they do it. So, you know, or if somebody makes a big donation to charity to look good, and you know how those things go.
Yeah.
So.
You ever get the impression there are too many prima donnas in football at the top level of the game?
Well, at this point, there's too many in every sport, isn't there? You know, what guys are being paid and the way these guys act and get away with. I mean, you know, we were just talking about Watson. I mean, could 22 women all really be grouping together to lie? You know, I mean, that's a hell of a lie to conceal for 22 people. I mean, you generally can't, you know, if you played the telephone game as a kid, you generally can't get down a line of 10 people without the story getting messed up.
Yeah, the thing I can't figure out with 22 women involved, how is it that there's not any kind of preponderance of evidence going against him.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, a lot of it is he said, she said. So, you know, like most sexual assault cases.
Yeah, but we're talking 22 women. We're not talking one or two women.
Right. You know, unlike Trevor Bauer, who it was one woman, and he is still suspended, they actually extended his leave till the end of the month. But I did find out he is getting paid. I don't know if Watson got paid last year, because he was inactive for every game, but I think since he wasn't suspended, he did get his paycheck.
I wonder what the Cleveland fan base thinks about the move, considering his reputation. Or don't they care as long as he gets them to have a winning team, a contending team?
Yeah. You know, they're just happy they got a quarterback upgrade because he is looked at as being better than Baker Mayfield. So we'll have to see how it goes, but I got to tell you, I can't root for him.
No, it's hard to
It's
hard to root for him, and I would assume that Baker will be traded eventually. But to whom? Any thoughts along those lines as to who would be interested?
Well, you know,
in him?
Apparently. You know, Seattle is still looking for a quarterback. New Orleans is still looking for a quarterback. So there are some teams out there that, you know, possibly, you know, like I know, Atlanta, it was Atlanta, New Orleans, and Cleveland were in the running for Watson. You know, Carolina started, but Watson told him he wouldn't waive his no-trade clause to go there. So you've got to figure they would all be the next step in acquiring Baker Mayfield, right? And then you throw Seattle in because they moved Russell Wilson. They do have Drew Lock, but a little competition wouldn't hurt.
Well, it'd be up to Cleveland to get the best deal, I guess.
You know, at this point, you got to wonder what they're going to get for Mayfield because now everybody knows they don't want him or need him. So why are you going to give anything up for him?
You think it's going to wind up to some draft choices again?
Yeah, and probably some pretty low ones. I would guess they're not going to do better than a third or a fourth at best.
I was going to say a third and fourth. Yeah, definitely not first or second, but third or fourth makes more sense now.
And, I mean, I honestly don't understand why they just didn't include him in this deal and get it over with, unless Houston didn't want him.
Well, maybe that's the truth behind it. It'll be interesting to see where he lands, though.
Yeah. You know, and I do wonder if maybe he ends up having to do the Mitchell Trubisky thing and sign with a team as a backup for a year and let things play out.
Well, that's another interesting scenario. We'll see how Mitch does in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of a good battle going on there to see if he winds up as the number one quarterback, which is a possibility.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like with the quarterbacks on their roster right now, I mean, it's Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Dwayne Haskins. My guess is they'll draft somebody as well. You know, out of that group, Trubisky's probably the best guy.
Wouldn't it be a slap in the face for the Bears if he wins the starting job and actually has a great year as a quarterback for Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah, he certainly wound up in a good spot for himself with that, as you said, 1 year as a backup in Buffalo, and now he's the Vikings starting quarterback in Pittsburgh.
Which was his plan. You know, that was his idea when he signed with Buffalo. So it worked out. But we went 45
very
minutes
well for
into
him.
We haven't talked anything about baseball. We did have another trade today. The Padres acquired Luke Voit from the Yankees. Because, of course, the Yankees signed Anthony Rizzo. And now I want to ask you the same question I asked Dan yesterday. You know, there was a lot of talk, you know, as the Cub fan you are since, you know, 1900, there was a lot of talk about the Cubs putting the band back together or at least trying to get a piece of the band back. We knew it wouldn't be Baez because he signed before the lockout, but they had the opportunity with Rizzo and Bryant, you know, and even Schwarber, None of them came back. Baez is a Tiger, Rizzo's a Yankee, Bryant's a Rocky, and Schwarber signed with the Phillies. Are you disappointed as a Cubs fan that none of these pieces came back, or was it just kind of what you were expecting? And then, of course, the Cubs made some great signings. How you feel about those?
Yeah, well, I looked at the signings like Villar, for example, and by the way, first of all, I'm not surprised that none of these Cubs are coming back. I didn't expect any of them to come back to the Cubs. But when I looked at all the signings they made, Robertson and Villars and some of the other great acquisitions, the first thing I thought of was that it's a good thing that they're in a division with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Very fortunate.
Yeah, and now does this remind you a lot about the way Theo rebuilt this team, where he went out and got a bunch of journeyman guys, and then if they did well, he'll trade them for draft picks or, you know, young players for prospects?
Yeah, the same thing could be happening. Who knows? And right now, as I told you before on email, I think I'm going for 75 to 77 wins for them this season and a solid third place, thanks to Cincinnati dismantling their team.
Yeah. Yeah, fortunately. Otherwise, they'd probably be a fourth-place team. Now, they did make the one big signing, Saya Suzuki, 5 years, $85 million. I think you and I had the same name pop into our head when they made the signing. That, of course, was Kosuke Fukudome. But Suzuki did hit 38 bombs last year in Japan. That doesn't excite you?
No, and I still consider Japan to be a AAA organization. And how many great ballplayers have come out of Japan? Yeah, I can think of a couple. One Ichiro, for example, and a couple others. But how did Fukudome work out? He did great in the beginning. Hit that one. Didn't he hit three homers in one game at the beginning of the season? And how long did that last before he was peddled to another team, and how long before he was out of the major leagues? So I can't be excited until I see how this guy performs.
He had a cup of coffee with the White Sox, too. You know, don't forget
that.
Yeah, that's
right, he did. And we'll see how this guy does after he's been to the league two or three times, and get back to me then if he's hitting 280 with 18 dingers throughout maybe the first half of the season. Would you settle for that?
Well, you know, I mean, it does seem that most of the Japanese players that come over and have longer-term success are pitchers. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani does both. But, you know, like you mentioned, Ichiro, hitting-wise, you know, the only other name that popped into my head was Hideki Matsui.
True.
So I'm trying to think of another hitter. But
well, not
many
over the years.
You know, and I'm just wondering, I mean, have there not been a lot of hitters that came over, maybe? Is that why?
There's been a few, but I don't think too many of them have sustained success.
So, yeah, because I'm trying to think, off the top of my head. And, yeah, for the life of me, I can't come up with, obviously Ohtani, you mentioned Ichiro, but I can't come up with another really good quality hitter besides Hideki Matsui.
Yeah, there's been a couple, but not many. And is he taking over right field?
That I don't know. I haven't seen where they're planning on playing him yet. So,
which means that they would move Hayward to center field. So what?
Yeah.
Half would play left field then? Because I'm not sure who the Cubs left fielder is.
So let me check here, and I can pull up their projected roster for you and see how they have this set up. But yeah, I would guess that's the plan would be Suzuki in right, Hayward in center, and Hop in left. But you never know. All right, here's the Cubs' projected order for next year. I'll give you the whole thing. And this is from rosterresource.com, so take that for what it's worth. It would be Rafael Ortega in center, Frank Schwindel at first, Wilson Contreras catching, Ian Happ in left, Suzuki in right, Patrick Wisdom as the DH, Jonathan Villar at third, Andrelton Simmons at short, and Nick Mandragold at second. Which would push the likes of Yan Gomes, Clint Frazier, and Jason Hayward to the bench.
And what about Nick Horner, also to the bench?
They have Nico Horner starting the season in AAA.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
So, yeah, even though earlier in the week when I checked this, they had him as the starting shortstop. So, but of course,
what's odd about this is
their bench would be a catcher and four and three outfielders.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, it looks like a hodgepodge type of team. The one player that interests me in the team is the one they got from the White Sox. Although he doesn't have any power, but he looks like a nice contact hitter if he stays healthy.
Yeah, he doesn't strike out, so that's a big plus.
He has one of the best averages when he has two strikes on him in the league.
Yeah, and what I find really odd about it is, in actual baseball, until everybody went nuts with sabermetrics, he'd be the perfect number two hitter, but now he's a nine hitter because what his skills aren't valued anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's a bad position to put him in the ninth spot. I agree with you. The two spot seems more logical to me. Even the seventh spot.
Yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, the projections here have Suzuki hit .286 and 29 homers. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'd be very happy if that happens, but I don't see it. I don't think that projection is, I think it's wildly optimistic.
So, yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Oh, by the way, there is one sport we haven't touched on. We haven't talked about the big trade that happened today in hockey.
Yeah, the Blackhawks finally made a deal, and it wasn't Marc-Andre Fleury.
No, but they...
Yeah, what was it?
Hagel.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and they're giving up a great young hockey player. They're getting a couple of first-round draft choices, plus a couple of players I'm not familiar with, so I'm not sure how much that will help the team. But it's obvious, and obviously it's really apparent to you and to me, that this team is in a rebuilding cycle. But the question is, how long are they going to be in a rebuilding cycle? 2 years? 3 years? Will the fans be that patient?
Well, they seem to be. You never know. It's just kind of, it's always hit or miss when you rebuild. So we'll have to. But this is what that general manager said he was going to do. He said they needed draft picks, and he was going to go out and find them draft picks. The two players they got in return are Boris Kachouk. Boris Kachouk is what I'm going with, and Taylor Radish.
Yeah, I know very little about those players. I saw the names.
I don't know much about them at all.
I'm familiar with them.
But I can tell you that Kachouk has scored two goals, and he has four assists in minimal playing time. He's appeared in 25 games. And then give me a second, and I can get you the stats on the Radish guy here as well. And we'll see if he's played much. So, he has five goals and seven assists, and he has appeared in 17 games, right? Is that right? Or no, 53 games. Sorry.
Well, a couple of throw-ins there that I don't think is going to make much of an impact in the Blackhawks.
Well, they both are 23, so they're still young. So maybe
they have a chance.
You know, yeah, you know, it's always possible they'll develop into something or be solid defenders or scorers or, you know, whatever they end up being. But we'll,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. You know, the big plus is they got the 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, that's important. That's hugely important if they make some good decisions.
You know, they won't be very high being that they're Tampa Bay because they'll be – playoff team, you know,
they won't get the real top of the line first round playoff picks for sure. And there's one thing I was thinking about in terms of hockey. I had to ask you about this. I was thinking about this the other day. I wanted to get your opinion. Have you noticed that there's been a very, over the last year or two, there used to be a lot of interest in Chicago on the minor league team, the Wolves. But boy, it seems like it's dead now. I have not seen very little in the way of sports about them. They used to get nice crowds, and they covered them in the sports reports, but nothing lately. Have you noticed that?
No. You know, I watched a period of their game the other day when I just happened to come across it. Are they having a bad year, and maybe that's why?
I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know, but it seems like their popularity one of the things, they used to be popular here before the Blackhawks got good and started to become a contender again and won those 3 cups, and everybody forgot about the Wolves, but they've forgotten about them, seems like it's completely over the last couple of years. And maybe, as you suggest, they're not having a good season. And for the life of me, I cannot tell you how they're doing this year.
They're in first place in their division, so that's not it.
That's not the answer.
Maybe. Well, they're no longer a Blackhawk farm team, are they? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I don't know if they were. I thought the Blackhawks farm team was the one in Rockford.
Yeah, but I think the Wolves were with them for a little bit.
But not for over the last couple of years. Maybe that's what you're suggesting. Which, I'm not sure what affiliate they're associated with now.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if I can find it, but not quite. If we'll make it in time, because we're running out. Oh, they're with Carolina.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, they used to have nice crowds, but I'm not sure how well they do now at the box office anymore.
I know my roommate went to a game this year. She went to a Wolves game, so at least they didn't go. But yeah, I don't know. I've never been to a Wolves game. I probably should go one of these days.
If we have time, I'll just point out that it's one game that you have to see in person out of all the major sports, would be hockey. You really understand how the game goes. I found that out very quickly.
I really say the Chicago Sky. Anytime you want. All right, let me get this.